here we are and want to look into the Word this morning. And I want to begin by talking to you about a challenge in particular, about challenges in general. And have you ever been challenged in your life? Challenged to do something? So many different challenges from that we could take. You know, challenge to learn a new language, challenge to eat better, challenge to exercise, challenge to go back to school and finish that degree. I mean, the challenges are endless, are they not? Challenges. Some time ago, I was watching, I forget what it was, if it was a documentary Into Thin Air about the climbers who climbed Mount Everest. Remember that? Some of you may have seen it. And I don't know if it was that documentary I was watching in particular, but anyways, they were interviewing, they're all huddled around and the wind was blowing and their tents were there. They were at, I don't know if it was the lowest summit in preparation to climb, and they were interviewing the climbers. And of course, you know, the question came up, why? You know, why you got to climb Everest? And she tried to say, you know, don't give me the pad answer. Some of you know the pad answer. But they couldn't resist because it's what? Because it's there. You know, I'm going to take this challenge because it's there. And there's something to be said for that. That reaches deep inside people because it's there. I got to climb it, you know, to meet the challenge. And I think that God made us all like that. Challenges, who of us has not faced one challenge or another in our lives? Some by choice, a lot of them, like it or not, we got this challenge that we're facing. And I read this little quote by Sir Edmund Hillary that I'd like to read to you. Now, Sir Edmund Hillary, some of you may know, the New Zealander who was one of the first, right, to climb Mount Everest way back in the early 1900s. And it's funny, but when you look at the gear back then that they climbed Everest with compared to how they climb today, you wonder how they even managed back then. But they did. And he said this. He said, when you go to the mountains, he said, you see them and you admire them. In a sense, they give you a challenge. The mountain itself gives you a challenge. And you try to express that challenge by climbing them. Oh, there's something that puts butterflies in my stomach. And I think for good reason, for all of us, we feel those kinds of things in our lives. Maybe some of you need a resurrection to feel them once again in your life. But today's message is going to be a challenge. I want to challenge you something particular. All of my life, all of my Christian life, since I was 16, just turned 16, and all of my married life for some 40 years, I've taken and I've kept this challenge. And so as I look back on my life and all the moments of my life that have brought me to this moment right now, I see this challenge, and it's not so much a mountain anymore because I've gotten used to taking the challenge and going up and down this mountain lots of times. It's almost like the Sherpas, you know, who live there around Mount Everest and are the guides. And these guys go up and down the mountain like you and I go up and down the hill in our backyard, you know. And so that's how this has become for me, and I would say for Sandra. We've taken the challenge. And here's the challenge. I'll let it out of the bag. And then we'll read the text, okay? I know you just can't wait to hear the challenge. You ready? It's what I'm calling the Pay Your Tithe Challenge. The Pay Your Tithe Challenge. Now, let me just give a couple disclaimers real quick here, okay? This message has nothing to do with me knowing what our finances are as a church, let's say. I don't know. I know totals, but I don't know anybody's giving record or giving history, and that's on purpose. I don't want to know. It's none of my business. And And also, the other disclaimer would be this message isn't being shared now because, you know, we have a financial need as a church, and so I need to motivate you to give. Nope, not at all. This message is somewhat, not altogether, motivated by part of growth in our lives as Christians is to meet this challenge. And we don't find ourselves growing as we should unless we're meeting this kind of challenge. And so that kind of blessing I want to see as your pastor in all of our lives. And so I want to speak some things about the Pay Your Tithe Challenge. And as I said, if you are, if you do, well, this will reinforce some things about the blessing that brings into your life. If you don't, you will perhaps see it as an Everest and be encouraged. I, too, can climb that mountain. And all of those kinds of things and more. So I want to look at a text of Scripture to help us as a people. Is that fair? I mean, I'm talking from my heart, okay? I know that, you know, whenever we talk about money, all kinds of things, you know, all kinds of bells and red lights and all kinds of stuff can go off. And I can probably count on two fingers in the time that I've been here, almost 8 years, that I've spoken about money in any kind of teaching context. Maybe one finger, you know. Seriously, and I think you can attest to that. I have no, I did have a little hesitancy because of some things. But I overcame my hesitancy, I should say, by seeing and knowing that it's part of my, it's the burden that I bear for the work that I do as your pastor to speak about such things. How's that? Is that cool? So I want to talk about such things, and I would like to go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, or Malachi, the Italian prophet, and to look at chapter 3 and the challenge that he puts to the people of God then. Okay, so I'm lifting that challenge and presenting it to us this morning. Malachi chapter 3, I'd like to start at verse 8. Okay, you with me? And I know that Todd will get it up on the board for us as well here. But he says, will a man rob God? So he's asking a question, and this is how Malachi throughout his chapter challenges the people. There are several challenges in this book, and one of them is about giving here. And he talks about it in the sense of robbing God. He says, yet you have robbed me. And they're startled by that, and they say to themselves, and they say, really? How in the heck have we robbed God? How is it possible to rob God? And Malachi responds, and he says, in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse or into the temple treasuries back then, which could easily be said today, bring them into the church offering, the church fund, church budget. He says, bring the whole tithe. He said, that there may be food in my house. And now here's the challenge that he gives. Test me. Challenge me in this. He says, I'm challenging you to challenge me. I'm challenging you to engage in the challenge. And he says, and see, says the Lord Almighty, if I will not throw open, look at this, the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough to contain it. Doesn't that just sound good? Room enough for it. And then he goes on, it doesn't stop there. He says, if you do that, if you meet that challenge, he says, not only will I do that for you, he says, but I'm going to prevent, he says, I'm going to prevent pests from devouring your crops. The money you make is not going to be like you get home and you put it into, you know, whatever it is you put your money into the bank, into a bag, let's say, And then you go to look at the bag because you got a need that comes up, and it's like there are holes in the bag. Where'd it go? He says, that's not going to happen to you. He says, I'm going to prevent that from happening. And he says, your vines in your fields will not cast their fruit. You're going to have a good harvest. Your money's going to go a long way. It's going to work for you instead of working against you, says the Lord Almighty. And he says, not only that, but all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Instead of being this kind of people that, we're always down in the mouth, always just, struggling to get by, always just, no, instead, you're going to be looked upon as this fruitful place that's a blessing to all those around you. That those around you are going to take delight to be your neighbors because you're just so prosperous. The challenge is, test me now with this. Let's pray. And so, Father, as we fiddle with this passage of Scripture here, and as I present this challenge, pay your tithe challenge, I'm asking that you would draw near to each of us and help us to hear your voice in these things. And as your people, Lord, that we might grow, and that we might hear ringing in our ears the words of the Lord Jesus, who said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, and that we would know that kind of generous spirit blessing in our lives as a people, that Wolcott Church would be known as a delightful land because of our generosity. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. And so, there's a number of things that I want to get into and fiddle with this, okay? And as I have reflected often on my own life and how it is that I have given, as I said, that I can honestly say before God that I have met and kept this challenge since I was a kid. When I first became a Christian, no one told me, my pastor, so-and-so, now this is how you pay your tithes. No one. I had this automatic desire within me to give. And as a young Christian, I just started giving. And that's not unusual because it's, ask yourself the question. It's like I saw my children's born except for, who was it? Oh, except for Melody, yeah. I was down admitting and she came too quick, as I said, and she's always in a hurry now, so impatient. And it's like, we got to teach this infant how to eat now. So, the doctors call a consultation with the mother, with the parents, and say, now these are here's the five things you want to do to get your child to eat. That's silliness, right? I mean, this child wants to eat. And all you got to do is point it in the right direction. And that child starts eating. There's something inherent within the child of life that it wants to sustain its life so it eats. And so it is with us who have become Christians and that new life is within us, that there are things that we do to sustain that life within us, and one of them is giving. Yeah, one of them is giving. We cannot say that we're like God and not be givers and not be generous. If there's anything that God is, he's exceptionally, over the top, generous. And I'm like him. I want to be like him. And so I've seen this, about myself. And if in any area of my life where, I've done pretty good, there aren't many, okay, where I can look back and say, boy, there's a pretty consistent level of success in that area of my life. It's been in the area of giving. And in our married life as well. And there are all kinds of things, Sandra and I, as I said, married for 40 years, and all kinds of things that happen in life, just have kids. And it's like, where'd the money go? Where'd the money go? And all kinds of things happen, and you know, you lose a job, and things get tight, and all of these things, all of those things that happen to people, of course, have happened to us. And I can honestly say, yet before the Lord, not one of those things that happened to us ever detoured us or made us say, you know what, we can't give this week. We can't pay our tithes or give on top of that because we just have to do this or we don't have the money to do it. Never. Never. And it's just, you know, I'm grateful for that kind of grace at work in our lives. And for a wife who will drive 5 miles out of her way to get gas at a gas station that's offering it a penny less than the one right around the corner. She just has so much of her father and mother. It's just incredible. We went shopping. She was off from work a week or so ago, so I went grocery shopping with her, and at one point she turned to me and she said, I'm going to send you to the car. Sandra, you sound just like my mother, for crying out loud. All I want are, you know, the Oreos. And it's like, stop putting stuff in the car. I'm going to send you to the car. Stop it, Sandra. So anyways, I thank God for a woman who taught all of our. If it was left up to me to have taught my kids how to budget, it would be a disaster. Okay, enough about that. Now, I think that there are some obstacles that we have to overcome to take, as there always are. In whatever the challenge is, there are obstacles to overcome to meet the challenge, to take the challenge to meet the challenge, okay? And I want to look at a couple of those obstacles that we can meet and overcome. And some of the, a couple of them have to do with this text that I'm reading to you this morning, okay? Let's look at a couple of the obstacles. You ready? Here's the first obstacle that we have to overcome. And that is, we find our passage about tithing in the Old Testament. And so what I want to say to that objection that is often raised when it comes to tithing, well, it's in the Old Testament, and we're New Testament Christians, we're not Old Testament Christians. Some of you have heard that argument. And here's my reply to that. Here's my reply to that. The Old Testament is just as much the Word of God as the New Testament is. Right? In fact, it was the only Bible that the first Christians used. The first Christians used the Old Testament as their Bible. All right? And so the way to look at the Old Testament is that it is an outgrowth of, or I'm sorry, the way to look at the New Testament is that it is an outgrowth of the Old Testament. And so, yes, there are things that were prescribed, let's say, in the Old Testament that we can receive instructions from in the New Testament we no longer follow. We didn't have to come here today with our animals to present a sacrifice for forgiveness because there has been what? A fulfillment of that in Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So there's a fulfillment of that. And there are other such things in the Old Testament, that so many things that we find in that. I don't want to get into that kind of Old Testament or biblical theology, as we call it. But to say to you, never consider your Bible as two books, Old Testament, New Testament. Always consider it as one book, the Bible. And so the other thing I would say is this. Tithing predates the law of Moses. So when you read, you know, through the law that was given to Moses starting in Exodus 20, you know, the Ten Commandments and so on, and then all of the details that go along there with Moses, and where he talks about how it is that they're supposed to give and all of this stuff. And you say, well, you know, that's part of the law. And we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. Wrong. Wrong in so many ways, but in particular because tithing predates, first of all, the law of Moses. It wasn't something that is a part of the law that no longer has any kind of enforcement in our lives. I can take you all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4 and show you there how tithing was very much a part of what was understood, what God made people to understand that he created is how we are to give to God. Who am I speaking of? I'm speaking of Abel, and I'm speaking of Cain as well. And Abel, it says, presented his first fruits to the Lord of his harvest. First fruits, or like we do, we take a 10% tithe, which is the first fruit of our earnings, and we present them to the Lord. Abel was doing that. And further, I can mention, and I don't want to take the time with it here, and get into it even further, but we can even look at Abraham, who of course predates the law. And it speaks about Abraham paying the tithes of his wealth. So that's the second obstacle that I want to present and how it is that we overcome it, that it is assumed, tithing is an assumed Christian practice in the New Testament. You understand? That you say there isn't a lot of teaching to mention tithing, you know, in the New Testament. A lot of it, like you find in the Old Testament, simply because it's an assumed practice in the New Testament. There is teaching, though, in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. You have to put these all up, Todd. But speaks about how it is that the Corinthians were encouraged on a weekly basis to take their income, some of their income, to be ready to give during the collection. Yeah, it's there. Second, you want to talk? You want to look at a good chapter on giving? You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where the apostle there again talking about giving and how it is that we are to give generously, and he says, if you give generously, it's going to come back to you generously. If you give stingily, that's how it's going to come back to you, very little. And he talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Jesus spoke about tithing, and once again, I want to move on. So here's another obstacle that I can talk about that helps us meet the challenge. The New Testament, in general, does speak a lot about giving, which includes tithing. In fact, Jesus, in talking about the law of reciprocity, which is you're going to get back what you give. If you give forgiveness, you can count on getting what? Forgiveness back in return. And in that context, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus makes this lavish statement about abundance that comes back to us because we give. He says, give and what? And it shall be given back to you. Now, he doesn't stop there. He says, give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure. If you look at it as a basket, good measure, we're going to fill that thing up. He says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. Full. He says, give, and this is the way it's going to be given back to you. So tithing and offerings, but I'm narrowing it down to tithing, is a way in which we see that operate in our lives. And once again, I want to say, and I'll say it again in a moment, that it's a matter of growth in our lives, and it happens as a matter of obedience as a Christian to the Lord. I'll get back to that in a minute. Another obstacle I'll mention is this. It's a trust obstacle. Trust. Here's the question. Can I trust God to make up the difference of what I give to him in obedience? It's a trust issue, a trust obstacle. So I'm going to give, and boy, can I trust God to make up the difference of what I give to him? Okay, God, I'm going to be obedient, but boy, I don't know. I don't know if I can be. I don't know if I can trust you. So there's an obstacle to overcome. God, I'm going to trust you to make up the difference. And the last obstacle that I'll mention is what I call the lordship obstacle. Do I hold back from giving because I have to control that part of my life? Yeah. I got to control that part of my life. Yes, if you're going to Bobby and Allison's and you're listening to Dave Ramsey, he shows us as Christians how to take control of our finances. But I know Dave Ramsey well enough that he believes in the lordship of Christ. And when I give, I am showing that Jesus is Lord of my life because I am obeying him in his word. How is it that I can call him Lord of my life and not obey what he says, and paying my tithe is a part of obeying what he says for me to do? And it's a demonstrable way that I show that Jesus is in control of my life. He's in control of my finances when I give, when I pay my tithes. Okay, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. If you don't know it already, here's the challenge. Three things that all have to do with the same thing. So take the challenge and make, you ready now? I challenge you to make paying your tithes a part of your budget and to make paying your tithes the first line item on your budget. Now we all know, or we should all know, what paying your tithes is. You know, you make $100, you take 10% of that, which is $10, and that's your tithe. Did you hear what I said, the challenge? So that's really the challenge. But I just need to fill it out a little bit by saying, test God with your giving. He says it right here. He says, test me with this. You know, so where it's a matter of trust, am I going to have enough? Test him. See. Start paying your tithes. See, now listen, this is no guarantee that, it's almost like, this is a sure way for me to get rich. Because everything I give is going to come back to me. Oh, God, God, are you looking at what I'm giving right now, God? You know, I'm giving 10, I'm expecting 20 back. No. Or, God, look what's going on here in my life. You know, so the next time I need new tires for my car, I've been faithful to give. God, come on, fork over the dough for me to pay. No, he's not. God's not a genie. No. And by giving is a matter of faithfulness. The promise is that he will so help us to steward our finances that I have been faithful in giving, that if I need four new tires, he's going to provide a way, and here's the deal, for me to get those tires, and here's the deal. In my life, I have never gone to the Lord and felt embarrassed to ask for money from him to help him provide for needs that Sandra and I may have. Never. I have never felt embarrassed or reluctant to do it. Why? Because I know I've put enough in to make a withdrawal from. You see what I'm saying? And so he says, test me. Okay, I'm going to test you. So here's part of the challenge. Test God with your giving. Pay in your tithes to the storehouse, you know, to the church. And then the last thing to round it out, I'll say, is this. Bank on the promise God makes to you for taking and keeping the challenge. And bank on the promise is this. Test me and see if I don't pour you out so much blessing you're not going to have enough room to contain it. Doesn't that just sound, I want that. You know? I'd like to live there. So much blessing, there's just not enough room to contain it. You know? Where it's not like, you know, one thing after another keeps on sucking us dry of monies. But we have this sense about us that God is blessing our finances because he is honoring us for honoring him in giving. Yeah. And so I'll leave you with this last scripture verse, which which goes along, and this is a good one, an easy one to memorize. Some of you probably already have memorized it, but you need to go a little bit further. Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 5. You all know that, right? Proverbs 3, 5. And it's a good one to memorize and to keep on going in your memory, in your memorizing, where he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, right? And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And then keep going, for he says, honor the Lord with your wealth. With the first fruits of all of your crops. That's the 10%. He says, then he says, this is where Malachi gets this from. He says, then your barns will be filled with overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Wow. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. And so the challenge is, test God with this. Pay your tithes. Let's stand. How'd I do? Okay, you know, I'm reminded of, you know, in speaking how important tone is, you know, tone is. And some of you watched the TV show. Remember Everybody Loves Raymond? Remember that show? And there was one incident where they're sitting in the living room and Robert's there. And I don't know, Frank might have been there, whatever. And they're talking and Deborah comes in and he says, you know, something to her, and you know, his quirky voice. Hey, you know, sweetie, honey pie, whatever. And they look at it and said, wow, you know. He says that's really. He says, listen. He says I could say anything to Deborah that I want as long as I say it in the right tone. He says, watch it. They get out of it. He said, no, watch this. So he goes up to her and he says. He says something to the effect, I won't say what he said, because it was pretty bad, but in this kind of tone, he says, oh, hey, honey, you know, something like, you know, hey, you know, stinky, smelly feet, ugly looking, whatever, you know, and he's got this big smile and tone, and she says, oh, you know, she goes like this and turns around, keeps walking away. All of a sudden, she stops, dead in her tracks, turns around and comes in and says, what did you say? And then, you know, Frank and Robert are over there. Oh, boy. They get up to leave. And so, in as much as tone is important, also the content of what we say is just as important, right? And so I hope you heard the content of what I said and feel from me this tone of wanting to be nurturing, pastoring, to helpful, and not in any way I was going to say pry into your business. No, I will be there to pry into your business. If it's to help you to grow and to know that kind of blessing of God upon your life. Father, and so I submit this word to you now, Lord Jesus, and I pray that we would all be so sensitive to take up the challenge. I know, Lord, the challenge has come to me to give more. You've been challenging me and Sandra to give more. And Lord, I want to thank you for the faith, for the encouragement to do exactly that, to give more. I pray all of us will feel that from you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you.